Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program. I'm your host, Michelle Mache. Happy Wednesday, everyone. We have a lot to dive into today. We've got a lot of email questions, and of course, we'll be taking questions from callers as well. And we have a wonderful guest coming up at the second half of the program. Our Awakening Conversation today will be with Maureen Dawn Healy. She writes a popular blog at Psychology Today. She's been on ABC, NBC, and the CW Network, well featured on many magazines. So we'll be talking to her about the energetic keys to Indigo Kids. So hope you can stay around for that one as well. Also, if whenever you have questions or comments, you can always email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com. That's awakeningsradio@gmail.com. And if you'd like to get on the list for the newsletter, the solar newsletter, which we go into wonderful soul insights, and you can get updates as to what's going on monthly, I'm doing monthly here. You can also email awakeningsradio@gmail.com. We do have another Soul Path workshop coming up, connecting to and using your inner guidance system. And there'll be one in Los Angeles on November 16th, 3 p.m., or Los Angeles area, Brentwood, Santa Monica. You can drive in. We've got some people drive up Vegas, Arizona, San Diego, San Francisco. You can find out more information by going to Eventbrite. I have a link here. I'd like to kind of get that. I'm trying to get better on that. How is that doing? Am I getting better? Am I getting better on letting people know what's going on? Let's see if I can find it here in the newsletter, what the link is. And then if you do sign up for the newsletter, you will always you'll always know what's happening. And I also do those people that are doing my tele workshop and in-person workshops, we do have a weekly update that comes out as well. So, yeah, so you can go to Eventbrite, connecting to and using your inner guidance system. Connecting to your inner guidance system, I believe, is the link. As it gets closer to it, I'll put it in. If somebody does have that link, if they put it in, that would be great. I wanted to kind of get that out of the way. Had some people ask. And sometimes people, you know, usually I send out the information towards the end of the month or, you know, maybe the first week of the following month. But usually it's every, Siren Dreams, thanks so much, link for the workshop. Actually, Siren Dreams, would be great if we change the link and make it the name of the workshop or just maybe connecting to Inner GPS. Give it a personal link. It's easier to remember that. But just for now, it's there in the chat. Appreciate it. I do weekly updates as well. And I have some people email to when is the information on the workshops coming out. So sometimes I've got a lot going on, so it might be not the end of the month, but maybe by the 3rd, the 5th at the latest. But just know that the workshops are twice a month. One is for the in-person and one is for the tele-workshop. And I've been doing the tele-workshops on Sunday and the in-person one on Saturday, if that helped anyone. And again, if you have any questions or topic suggestions or you need clarification, just email us at awakeningsradio@gmail.com. And we will get back to you. Also, join us on our Facebook page as well with Michelle Mache. Oh, I see more people getting in the chat. Hello, hello, everyone. And we can see everyone here. And I want to also give a hello to everyone that's listening via iTunes later and, of course, the archives. But you're all so great and make awakening what it is. Every now and then I let people know what's something I'm going to be attending or I think last couple months ago, a few months ago, it was the Taste of Peachy Greens in Malibu. It was a wonderful, healthy food. The celebration for 20 years for PC Green, which is a little market in Malibu, being there. And they had amazing vendors there, and a friend of mine who has these Pick Me Cocoa Creations and Karmas. They're all gluten-free foods, just amazing. Amazing little snacky treats made with fruit and nuts and sugar-free. And she had a booth there, so I went there and hung out and sampled stuff. And had a great time doing so. So I'm open to, any of you know of something that you want to share, you want our other listeners know about, you can always email us at awakeningsradio@gmail.com and let us know ahead of time. And you can also post it on the Awakenings Radio page on Facebook as well. Again, it's a community page, so for community service. Something I'm attending this Sunday I wanted to let people know about. I used to be a dancer. I love dance and I love music. I always say you'll find me to the right of the DJ. But all kinds of music, all kinds of dance. I have a really, really, really wide collection of music. Monopoly, who's a musician, you're in the chat, you'll appreciate this. My love of music. I play an instrument, but really enjoy it. Anyway, this Sunday, which is November 10th at 8 p.m., there's going to be a flamenco performance, and it's going to be at the Fountain Theater, which is in Los Angeles, and the Fountain Theater is renowned for its flamenco performances, and it's presenting Joy Heredia's El Arte del Flamenco, and again, that'll be this Sunday, November 10th at 8 p.m. If you want more information about it, you can call 323-663-1525. That's 663-1525, area code 323, or go to fountaintheater.com. And it's a great little theater. It reminds me of one that I used to go to, actually, when I lived in Paris. And it's very small. Or New York, it's really, very cozy theater, really good. You could, it's not a bad seat in the house. You can see the stage really well. And it has a little kind of upstairs, I don't know if you want to call it refreshment area, but really nice, really kind of a nice thing to do. So maybe I'll see you there. Maybe I'll see some of you there. Questions or comments, or you'd like a reading or to share anything, the number is 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122. And press 1 on the keypad. I do see some callers online. If you do want to get on air, you have a question or a comment, press 1 on the keypad, and that'll let me know that you want to get on air. So we're going to answer a couple questions here. Let's see. Karen wrote in catching up on the show, and she had a dream last night, and it was a quick dream as far as she can remember. She was abroad. She believed in Italy because she remembers thinking they're speaking to me in a language that sounds like Spanish. Karen speaks Spanish. Anyways, there was a boy and some woman I didn't know. They kept asking me why I wasn't married. I said, well, because I don't believe marriage should be a casual thing. I want to be in love and feel this guy is for me. And the boy asked how old I was, and I said 45. And then she says in her email, she's not really that age. The boy looked shocked because I looked young, and the woman said I was too old to have such foolish notions about love. Get rid of the woman. Let's just start from there. Get rid of the woman in the dream. I woke up right after that saying, I'm not 45. Okay, so I get a couple of little things in this. Again, first of all, always go to the tone of the dream, what's the feeling or feelings in the dream. Usually the dreams will represent people, again, it could be flushing through things that we've gone through the day, integrating things that we're going through or processing or thinking about or problem solving. I mean, dreams are a lot about that. They're also about our next piece, or letting us become aware of parts of us that we're not that aware of. And so that older woman, or did you say old woman? Let me go back to this. Did she say the young boy? Usually, when there's a baby or a younger part in the dream, that's an emerging aspect of us. So what I would say for you, Karen, is look at the qualities of that young boy. The young boy looks shocked, that because I looked young. And that could be connecting more with your boyish quality as well, maybe being more out there in the world. Think of young boy energies. There's a lot of testosterone. They're out there, you know, explorer, seeking, you know, think about tapping into more of those qualities. And I've spoken to you before, so I know there's a lot about you needing to explore your new neighborhood where you moved, as a matter of fact. And the woman that you didn't know, you know, that's also representing an aspect of you, maybe a belief of yours. So you need to look at that. You know, we all have a little ageism within us, and we all have a little of everything within us. So, and so it's also saying there might be a fear around the age. You can also take the 45 and add it up, and it equals a 9. So it could be that you're in the message is also about being in a transitional time period, maybe even a more introspective time period, because a 9 is very introspective, but it's also completing something. And recognizing the language, but it not being Spanish, but it perhaps being more Italian, tells me, again, something new is coming in, maybe a new aspect of the language. I mean, if you speak Spanish, you can, you know, usually speak or understand anyway Italian. So it's not totally different, but yet it is. You know, it's from the same derivation. And it's actually telling me, maybe you're asking, why am I not married? So it would say that maybe this little boy and this older woman also need an integration within you. You know, are you too hung up on old paradigm ideas, maybe old patriarchal ideas, you know, or more mainstream or traditional or conventional? Is that getting in the way of your new growth? So we don't, you know, again, we don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. I mean, I consider myself very progressive and alternative, but yet I do have an underpinning of something that's perhaps more conventional, more traditional. So we're all a blending. You know, that's what makes us unique. We're not black or white. You know, we have a lot of different tones. Some people might say shades of gray, but I like to say shades of all colors. So I would say for you, this is calling you to look at this idea of, first and foremost, the marriage within, the divine conjunctio, the divine marriage within you, your inner male and your inner female. And there's all these little subsets, everyone, to our inner male and inner female. So we don't just have, you know, the young woman that we are, the young man, or the old woman or old man, but we don't lose touch with the inner child, the little kid. There's, you know, the wise guide. You know, there's all these little subparts. There's the mother aspect of us, the father. Even if you don't have children, there's the mother nurturing aspect, the fatherly aspect. So the more that these parts of ourselves psychologically are cohesive, the more that we enjoy life and live more fulfilled and more creative we are, because we're here to express ourselves as us. We're creator beings, we're creative beings, so we're here to express and experience our soul through our life, and how we live our life is a form of creativity, right? So to me, it's calling for an integration, and then also within that integration, you're needing to look at and see, wow, are there some beliefs or ideas within me that I've taken on from the culture, from the cultura, from the main cultura? There's some things that you've taken on that perhaps are not what you really think, or are limiting you, or maybe they're backed or based by fears. That's what I would say. But really good. Really good dream. You know, again, sometimes our dreams are going to come to us in a way that's kind of stark or doesn't make sense, so that it jogs us. Otherwise, we wouldn't get it. You know, I had a dream vision I want to share years ago, and we will be getting to callers. I see people coming on air. If you did want to get on air for a question or comment, please press 1 on the keypad. I one time had this dream, and I heard this voice, because I was asking, what do I need to focus on next, or what should I be doing? And my inner guidance said algorithm, and it was like this big voice, and then I saw the word algorithm in, you know, big letters, and I was like, algorithm? I'm like, I'm not a mathematician. What? I spent 4 or 5 hours, I kid you not, 4 or 5 hours researching algorithms on the internet. And I was like, I got into, I can't remember who coined the term, but it was, I believe, the Middle Eastern, maybe even Persian, Iranian guy way back when. And I was so stumped, and I thought, what the heck? And then I talked to this friend of mine, her father, a client of mine, and her father, who is very steeped in mathematics and is a stockbroker, and I relayed the dream, and he kind of laughed. He goes, of course your higher self would pick that. Your guides would pick this. So not you. You're so right-brained, and it's so stark that got you going. And he said, we use algorithms. He goes, algorithm is just a shortening of something, a system. He goes, you do algorithms all the time because your meditations are algorithms. Your meditation book is algorithm. It's taking something that's longer or more complicated and, you know, synthesizing it or putting it into a system or a form that's workable, but that's shortened, you know. So we use it all the time in trading. We use algorithms to quantify a trade or know what to trade on or, you know, or figure out how much money they're making. So I thought, oh, well, that makes sense. So it showed me, you know, and that's what I've been doing. Everything, you know, all the soul insights, all the things that I write, whether, you know, my books or my CDs or my blog, they're short how-tos. I'm constantly distilling information and getting to the algorithm of what to do. So very often your inner psyche, right, your subconscious mind will hand you something that you're like, what? Oh, what is that about? To get us to listen. And this gentleman made a good point because he said, if it was given to you something in your terms, kind of your flowery language, you probably would have ignored it. And that's true. So don't be surprised, especially right now during the rest of November and even into December, we're in such a churning mode where a lot from the underworld of, and when I mean underworld, our subconscious mind is coming up to get us to look at and to revisit and to, so that next year we're in new direction, these new energy patterns, our own personal energy patterns. And I wrote a blog post on this on my blog, Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living. Go to Soul Insights for SpiritLedLiving.com, and that's the number 4. Or just Google my name, I believe it comes up with the blog. And I was saying that right now we're in a really deep healing phase. There's a lot of stuff coming up, a lot of stuff. And some of our secret desires, things that we really want to do or wonder, can I do this? Can I balance, you know, work and play, relationship, Karen's writing in, can I get married? You know, can I have that special someone on my path, you know, with what I do? And you know, and I would say yes and yes and yes and yes. It's like, how badly do you want it? Whatever it is that you're going for. But make sure whatever you're going through right now in your life is about ambition, but has people involved, whether it's giving back in service, giving back to the community, but also your friends and your family. We're really meant to be connecting on a more of an interpersonal level. And all the bereavement counseling I've done and the shamanic work that I've done in helping people cross over, none of them, and I don't care even the millionaire people that I worked with that really did some amazing things in their life. Well, some of them touched upon things that they did materially or you know, wings that they donated, but it was all about the friends and family and dogs and their animals, grandkids. Places that they travel, remember we went here, but it was always about people. So I think we sometimes forget that we're on this earth to be in relationship. We're relational beings. Yes, they're striving and perfecting, and God knows, you know, I've been there in my own life, but it really is about those in-between moments with the people. And that's why on my Instagram, I call it the moments in between, the mementos, the moments in between. Because I find that's where there's a lot of richness is in the moments in between. All right, let's get to callers. If we have time, I will go back to a second dream that came in. Otherwise, we will Dana, if you're listening, I will get to it next week.
All right. Hello, 216-404. Welcome to Awakening.
Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great. What's your name?
Desmond.
Desmond, hi. Did you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I wanted a quick reading. I just wanted to know,
okay.
My question is, what do I have to get ready for in 2014?
Ooh, I like that, Desmond. Now, ready for in what area? Well, one thing in which I was sharing with people just a minute ago, you were listening, which I feel Desmond has to do with you as well, is start looking at some of the things that you really want to do in your life that kind of I call them those secret dreams, if only, or I wish I could. And begin to look and see what's been blocking that. Is it a person? Is it an idea? Is it a situation? And find the support to get through that. That's going to be for many people, all of 2014, but I would say for most of the people that listen on a regular basis have been working on this, so the beginning of the year is really going to be that focus. Like, you know what? I'm really going to go for it. No matter what, I'm really going to do it. I'm really going to take that chance. I'm going to take that risk. For some reason now, as I'm tuning into you, are you near a place or do you know a place where there's a short or low chain link fence around a house or duplex?
You said, am I near a fence, you said?
Yeah. I know that sounds weird, but I remote view a bit. I feel like you're going to be moving somehow. Is that one of the things that you're wanting to do?
Yes, that's one of the things I want to do, yes.
Yeah, because I feel a move. I don't know if you're going more suburb or you're in suburb now and going someplace else, but I see more of a house, or it could be a property with multiple houses on it. Are you with family, relatives? I feel relatives around you?
No, I have a close friend. It's like we cousins. It's my best friend cousin. I've been knowing him for years. So he stays next door. So it's like we and all.
Oh, that's too. Okay, because I feel a connection to one of the, like a familial connection to one of the neighbors. But I do feel that I would say go ahead and go for the move. I feel like you're craving a new environment, a different environment, maybe even more creative. You know, and I feel for you, 2014 is for you going to be about stretching out more. That makes sense?
You said searching out?
Branching out more. There's maybe that's a better way of looking. Branching out more.
Okay, because I know I got to get a little more serious about my studies about holistic health and learning Reiki, so I need to bog down and tighten up on that, so.
But don't bog down. Don't tighten too much. Yeah. See, don't forget. See, one thing is we get our inspiration from not only other people, but the language of the soul is not just healing work like that's very obvious, but things like music. That's why you always find me out. I've been listening to music, you know, with people, with friends, myself. Art, music, or even just sometimes walking through, you know, wonderful places where there's great architecture. Those are the things, when you're getting bogged down or you're feeling like, why am I not getting serious about something? It's usually because you're trying to force it. And so usually the soul needs a breath of fresh air. It needs some inspiration. And that inspiration also can come from a great book, a great movie, you know, a hike. I mean, but what I hear with you is I feel like, yeah, you're going to do the schooling and you need to do that. You need to focus on that. But you also need to start connecting, branching out and connecting with more like-minded individuals. You need to fill your cup back up, okay? Fill your cup back up with inspiration. All right, Desmond, keep us posted. Thanks for calling in.
All right, thanks.
Hi, 720-628, you're on Awakening Radio. Welcome to the program.
Hi, hello, thank you. My name is Michelle.
Hey, Michelle, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. What's your question or comment?
I have a question I want a reading on also. On Sunday, I actually have an appointment, and his name is John. And he's supposed to be helping me to start to get funding for my business. And so I want to see how do you feel about him and if this is going to be something that's beneficial.
Okay. Well, is it, it looks good, but it says go slow. I think it's not something that's going to happen overnight. I feel like is he a little more guarded or reserved?
I don't know him, actually, and so I was just referred to him, so I don't really know him.
Because it's showing more of a process, so my sense is there'll probably be a few meetings. He may even have you put some paperwork or something together. I feel like it looks good, though. It looks like there's going to be a good connection there. And even if it's not him, he will have somebody that helps you. Maybe I feel like there's somebody else with him. So I don't know if it's a business partner that he has to run it by. I don't feel like he's making the decision solely on his own. John. Yeah, but it's saying to be hopeful. It is saying to be hopeful. To present the facts to him, Michelle, but also your idealism and passion, it's showing that's what he's going to be looking for, that idealism and that passion that you have, the follow-through. But it does show a good connection, and I do feel he's going to give you, like, steps to do, like, now you need to do this, you know, and then come back to me with this, and let's see how it goes.
Okay.
All right? Will you keep us posted? I'd love to keep
definitely,
in
definitely. Love the show.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Thanks for calling in.
Bye.
Bye.
I'll always be here.
Oh, will you? Great. I love it. Okay, we've got a Skype caller, a personal caller, 1111, if you're on air.
What a beautiful picture.
Hey, Queen.
Of you on your page. I mean, I've seen your beauty, but that picture there is really beautiful.
Which one was this? It's on my page?
It's on your page, yeah, your Blog Talk page.
Oh, Queen, thank you. Oh,
thank you, really.
What would you call it? I love our community. I love, and everyone is just, everyone's going deep. Everyone's going deeper and blossoming at the same time.
Well, that's what we're here to do.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, that's the truth. That is true. And share it. And share.
I have a question.
Yeah.
It's a combination question. I'm on my way to the New York City again, the metropolis of the world. And I also would like to know what you get around me and Booth. Tahuti.
Tahuti?
Tahuti, yes.
Wow. There's a lot of energy between the two of you.
I love that.
Yeah, there's a lot of, there could be shared, if it's not shared work, then there's going to be more of a consistent connecting, consistent routine between the two of you. And I feel like it's something that's just developing.
That's correct.
Does that make sense or not? And, yeah. Boy, you guys are also, it's showing a shared relationship of resources. So there could be something between the two of you. Definitely, it's a transformative relationship. I feel like there's a lot of idealism. There's a lot of maybe even focus on spirituality and or healing is what I'm hearing. You have a very strong energy, very strong, very kind of masculine, commanding energy. Are you thinking of even doing something together? Is that a possibility?
Well, he is of the spirit realm opposed to the physical.
Oh.
So it could happen like that.
But channeling, is he giving you information? Because I feel like there's some shared work.
It could be channeling. This is something old, I'm sure, ancient, that's being renewed now.
Okay. But it's new to you, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it is. Okay. That's so interesting, because I felt something. I was going to say, I feel like it could be past life, or I was going to say maybe when you were a lot younger and lost touch. So I feel like there's something with more with a work situation or more of a consistent. So if you're just tapping into this energy, it's telling me that this is going to be much, it's going to be much more consistent. But you're going to do something with it in a work capacity. So I don't know if that's writing, speaking it, if it's going to inform your art. But it's definitely like a consistent partnership. That's the best way that I can get it. You know, that you'll be somehow transformed, forever changed. And more, it's something to do with communication.
That's correct. Writing, communication, okay. You're right on.
Okay. So, it's a partnership.
I love it.
But it's I feel like, is it masculine? I feel a very strong, I don't know, but I want to say warrior, and I don't want to do that cliche, spiritual warrior, but it is kind of a very strong, grounded presence. It's there's a tribal kind of indigenous earthy aspect, and, very grounded, but yet fiery. I don't feel flighty. It's not like light. I feel your energy, your laughter, your jokiness will lighten it up, but it's like it comes through really just fiery earth. So it'll be more consistent. I'm seeing more in Sag time. Yeah, Aries. It's really coming through quite strong. Do you feel that this energy just kind of overpowered you, or just boom, came through really quickly?
I don't feel overpowered at all. I'm very welcoming to it. It's like, without taking up a lot
word,
of time.
But powerful. But do you think it came on quickly, I guess? That's maybe what I'm saying.
It's like it was, as I look at the signs and symbols around me in my home, a ring I had been wearing for years, it's like it just woke up. I just called it forward and it came. That's what
quickly,
happened.
Quickly, though. Well, not with unexpectedly quickly. I feel like it didn't happen like little by little. Maybe it did, and then sometimes something's little by little that you don't even sense it, and then all of a sudden it's boom, the presence is there, is my sense of it. So, wow. It's going to be interesting to see what transpires.
I agree. It will be, and thank you for that insight. Anything you get around my trip to New York?
New York is always so good with you.
The
thing, Queen, that I'm feeling, I do see like an in-person partnership around you also. So maybe this is opening you up to this. I feel like there's going to be more, I don't know if it's workshops, more work in partnership. I feel an there's not a man around you that you're doing some work with that's embodied? Not yet.
That's an interesting question. That's a loaded question. That
I feel Tahuti. Tahuti is there, but there's another one that I feel is going to be coming on kind of strong. It's going to be more prevalent, I guess is the way to put it.
And that's within the realm of possibilities. The veil is yet to be lifted. But
yeah, okay. Well, it's going to be lifting next year. You're just peaking now. It's going to be lifting.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay.
Thank you,
yeah.
Beautiful one. I mean, the picture, your tan, everything. You look so radiant.
I'm going to look and see what a picture that I never know what which pictures they use, so I'm going to look. But thank you for that. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Feeling good these days. Yeah.
And thank you so much for that information and that helping to fortify my connection with Tahuti.
Yeah, you were feeling it already. Yes, yeah, so I'm really curious. Keep it posted. So you will. I feel you're going to be seeking it, so we will know.
And I shall return. Many blessings.
Thanks.
Much love.
Much love. Big hug. 201-716.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, this
Hello,
is Debbie. Hey,
okay.
Debbie. Hi. I recently got some information that my ex-boyfriend still may have feelings for me, and we haven't been in each other's life for 4 years. So I walked away from the relationship. Should I try to reconnect with him, or should I just leave it alone and let us be friends?
What do you feel?
I feel we have some unfinished business,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know about him.
Check it out. He had problems
with being committed to, in the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I say: when you, except sometimes you have to do something new or the unknown, we might get little butterflies in our stomach. But if you're making a decision like that and you feel a sense of relief or you feel your shoulders going back, you feel the chest opening more,
mm-hmm.
then you're more in coherence with the heart. I feel you. There's a part of you that is really wanting to reconnect with him.
Right.
You're during the retrograde right now. So, but my perception is I would keep it light and kind of see where he's at. I don't feel right now, Debbie, that it's the I'm ready now to jump in. I made a mistake. You know, sometimes that happens. Like, okay, I'm ready to do it now. Let's go. But I feel like he's entertaining it. I feel like he's knowing that, you know, maybe he made some mistakes, the timing was off.
Yeah.
I still feel he has, if we want to call it an issue. You know, this is another thing. Not all of us have the same, this really helped me a lot in relationships. It's called the cycle of intimacy. And
right.
You know that?
There was no intimacy
share with
in
us.
It.
Huh? It was what?
Yeah, he had an issue with the intimacy. That was a big problem. That's one of the reasons why I walked away.
Here's the deal I want to share. There's something called cycles of intimacy, and I always find it's kind of a cosmic joke that sometimes we're partnered with people that have a different cycle. And what the cycle of intimacy means is, I'm going to give an example. Let's say you and your, two guys, two lovers, whatever lover, whatever sex, pick your sex, okay, but listeners. But for Debbie, we're going to say you and this guy. Let's say you go away, great romantic trip, it's beautiful, and you get back on a Sunday morning, and you come in, you know, you've been gone, let's say, 5 days. Okay? So you come in, and maybe right away he goes, and it could be the girl doing this too, he puts the keys down, and he goes and starts checking his email. Meanwhile, you're thinking, oh, let's have some wine, go back to bed, you know. And you're like, let's go, it's only 10:30, let's go have breakfast. Oh, wait, I got to. So the cycle of intimacy is what it means is when we come together, especially when we come together a lot, at some point we need to pull back out into our own autonomy and get grounded back in ourselves. Some people's 15 minutes, 20 minutes, some people's hours, some people's days. Like some people, you know, they could be all weekend together. And then other people are like, oh, I got to get up and go work out or do whatever. So I feel with him, you both have a different cycle of intimacy. And so you might feel like you're not getting enough sometimes from him.
That was the reason why I walked away. So I should just leave it basically the way it is. Friends, maybe. Friends. Intimacy level hasn't changed.
sometimes I think that the learning is on us. Sometimes it's like we have to, part of loving somebody is, even if you don't like what they're doing, sometimes it's like, shoot, I want to lay in bed longer, but you know that your partner likes to bounce out of bed and go, you know, whatever, go play racquetball or go jog or go write poetry or music or whatever. So sometimes
right.
it's on us to kind of go, whoo, that's them. And then maybe sometimes you can negotiate the difference and say, hey, I know you like to bounce out of bed. Can we once a month or every so often hang out longer, you know? But I feel there is something there for you.
That was the problem in the relationship. I did all the bending and sacrificing. He did none. So
I'm not saying particularly with him. I'm speaking to you, but also in general terms. I feel with you there's something you want to check out with him. That's what I'm getting. I'm not saying go back with him. I would say if you're going to talk to him again, you're going to reach out.
Yes.
Don't do it with an agenda. Because I feel
right.
you're going to know. That's why I said, if you feel yourself constricting when you're talking to him, then it's
mm-hmm.
not a match. If you feel like,
there
ooh,
you go.
Something different. Yeah, because I think, Dave, you got to do it for yourself. You've got to, because you have you're very intuitive, so go ahead and
yes.
use that intuition, because I feel like you've been thinking about him and wondering, so let yourself go there, but not with an agenda. The only agenda is to see, does it feel like a match? And you'll know. You will totally know.
Okay, Michelle, you're right about that. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Big hug.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hi, 910-922. You're on Awakenings Radio. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello, you're on air.
Hello. Hi,
yes,
Michelle.
On
this
air.
Is Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
Hey, I have a question. It's similar to the last caller that you just had. My ex-boyfriend and I, we were together for 18 months, and we broke up about 3 months ago, and now we're talking about getting back together. So I just wanted to know if that's the right move or not.
Okay. That's perspective. Can I have his first name?
Brian.
Okay. Well, it's say yes, but go slow. There's a lot to work out with communication with the two of you.
Yes.
And is there a different approach in communication, some misunderstandings, or like I'm thinking one thing and he's thinking something else, or misinterpretation?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's exactly what we discussed about. And he was telling me that he feels that I'm not hearing him right. Or understanding what he's saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to listen more. Women, we sometimes don't listen enough. I think I don't want to get into gender stuff too much because there is slants or bents in certain directions. I think sometimes we have a certain agenda, and maybe our society pushes that on us too. Maybe our culture, our cultura, you know, we need to do this, or that the relationship needs to move in this certain direction or this way. I feel he's trying. Now, again, like I told Debbie, the caller before, there's our own growth there, but how much is something really a match? You know, because bottom line is, I don't care how together someone is, when you're in relationship, especially interpersonal, but also business relationships, there's going to be learning on both, you know, the merging part, the romantic part, the part where we all want to be the same and blend, that's the easy part. The real relationship starts when you get disappointed, like, oh, they're not this way, I thought they were this way, or this isn't going to move fast enough, or this is moving too slowly. Then you have to get into what we call the disappointment phase, and you move into negotiating differences. And that's where you really see, you know, each person really sees the person for where they are, and then you have your shared life. But you've got to see if it's a match. I do see you guys trying again. It's saying go for it. But I do feel that there is some, he might be a little right. There is some communication. I also feel he sometimes isn't very clear also. So you're trying to fill in the blanks, and you're filling in the blanks with what you envision or what you want to hear. Or what you fear,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, you know, there's a wonderful tool that I use a lot on my, it's on my blog, Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living, or you can go to my website, selfandlight.com, and it's a write-up. It's called Projection Perception. And, you know, we view our world not just by projection, but also by perception. But so many times we're all caught in projection. We're projecting our inner state, our inner fear, our wants, our needs on other people. And it's a whole process. I suggest couples, you know, you do it separately for sure, but I would say if there's miscommunication or misunderstanding, it's a good idea to say, hey, let's do our projection perception. You know, I'm going to go do mine. And then you can kind of clear the air on your own and then come back together and talk. I think that would be a really good tool. I mean, one of the blog posts, I talk about how perception is a window and projection is a mirror. So that gives you an idea. And I think it's really important for couples, you know, if something is really heated, you know, we're caught up in a projection. Something very traumatic is a projection. But also there's a positive projection. If it's really wonderful and we're so attached and loved and turned on, you know, that's also projection. So somewhere in the middle is that neutrality, as the Buddhists say, the middle way. But, yeah, I would say go for it, but also just trust your own inner knowing. And I'm hearing that it's showing here, Sherry, intuitively, to go slow. Don't jump in. Don't try to be like we left off here. Okay?
Right.
Rebuild.
That's what he wanted to do. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to take it slow. And he doesn't want to put a label on our relationship. So it's not like we're going to be boys and girls, and he wants to start all over. And that was kind of my,
idea?
I was just, no, not really.
I don't think not to label it. Brian, call me on the phone. Yeah, I'm not saying don't label it, because you can still be exclusive, you know, and go slow. That could still be boyfriend, girlfriend, and go slow.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
okay.
I know many couples that one of them is in law school and they're exclusively dating themselves.
Okay.
But the go slow means we're not making major decisions of marriage or moving in together or buying something together. But you can still be exclusive. Yeah, I would feel just my perception with tapping into you. You would need that. You don't want to be dicky dacking around. You know, you guys went past, you know, first and second base.
Right.
Yeah. So go slow is
totally
fine, but it's okay to define it. Go slow, but you don't want this in-betweeny, not at your stage anyway.
And And we did say that we're going to be exclusive, but we're not labeling it. Well, he said that. I want to label it, but he was like, no, go slow. He wants to start it.
Find a label you both agree on. How's that?
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Find a label you both agree on. All right.
And just kind
thanks for calling in.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. You got to remember, everyone, you guys are making your own rules. What works for you, you know, you're making your own rules. There's some societal rules, but, you know, it's what's fulfilling and healthy and beneficial for those concerned. That's a really good question. We didn't get to your question, and also, Dana, I know you were waiting for some of the dream interpretation. We will always get to that. We'll get to that next Wednesday. So it's time now for our awakening conversation. We have Maureen Dawn Healy, who's an author, healer, and counselor. She works directly with our most sensitive beings that are growing up, the psychic children. She writes a popular blog at Psychology Today. She's been on ABC, NBC, and the CW Network, as well as featured in many magazines. Maureen is also the author of Growing Happy Kids, and her most recent book is The Energetic Keys to Indigo Kids. Welcome to the program, Maureen. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Hi. Wonderful. I love that, Growing Happy Kids. It is that, isn't it? First of all, I want to dive in and get a little bit of your background, how that you came to have this be your focus.
That's a good question. I began my career working with adults, and I found they actually acted like kids. So I really had that moment where I said, okay, well, why aren't I working with kids? Because not that adults aren't great, they're just not my calling. So working with kids is sort of like helping them heal and learn how to manage their emotions and their energy. When they learn that early on, they can be successful their whole lives. So that was really inspiring and compelling to me. And I was a very sensitive child and still a sensitive adult, so that is really where that niche came from. And certainly kids come with parents and adults and teachers, so I work with them as well, but certainly my love, absolutely no question, is kids.
Mm, okay. And is there an age range, Maureen?
I typically work from 3 to 12, so real elementary age.
Okay. Magic. It's all magic, but it's a very magical time. And how did you come to – tell us a little bit about you growing up. I mean, did you have a particular first awakening or succession of awakenings?
I guess, you know, I was really just an open, tuned-in child and lived in the world of magic. I was more in a Harry Potter world than our reality. And certainly I could go to school and do fine in school and that kind of thing, but I enjoyed the imaginative, the creative artwork and painting and creating things like most children do, but certainly just tuned in, very aware of energy, very aware of, you know, that there's more than what we just see, and my dreams were vivid, and, you know, certainly other experiences that children have.
Mm-hmm. So you were very open.
Yes.
You seem sensitive. And how did that manifest for you? How did you experience that?
Well, certainly, I didn't know it at the time, but, you know, say for just to give you an example, you know, I was very sensitive physically, not only emotionally and intuitively, but, for example, like I would be in a classroom with a teacher who was having a divorce, and I'd take on all of her energy. I'd go home and feel terrible and have migraines, and I'd be healing her from her problems, but it was not helping me. So I really didn't know how to manage my energy. So that was just an example. But certainly, you know, like lots of kids, you have just an awareness that there's, you know, more here in your imagination, and certainly you're able to, whether it's feelings or sights or sounds, you can, you know, tap into more than what's going on. I mean, it's, you know, we all know that experience of knowing someone's going to call and they call. So that's natural for children.
Yeah, very natural, but I like where you say manage the energy, because I think so much of it for children, you know, and maybe us as the guides, companions, custodians, the mother and father principle, is how to help them manage that energy, you know, how to help them know what it is and manage it as well.
Right.
Now, when you were working, so healer and counselor, so what got you on that path?
Well, I've always, after college, have been doing counseling work. So I just went back to school and also wound up focusing on children. And counseling children and counseling adults, it just led me to believe sometimes that you can counsel for a very long time and the breakthroughs aren't as quick. So that's where I started doing energy healing. So I'm a Reiki master as well. So I sometimes will just do half counseling, half energy healing with children. And certainly I teach classes where I teach children how to do energy healing on themselves so they can feel more empowered and more in control and really be able to, like we were just talking about, learn how to manage their energies in better ways.
Mm-hmm. It almost feels like full circle, because you, having grown up this way, you know, would have a good beat on what's happening, you know, a good insight into, you know, I know for myself growing up this way, I look back and I think, God, if you had somebody in your life,
Early,
you know, I did in my, I did starting in my teens, but that precious 3, 4, 5 years old, when all that stuff is going on, all that psychic stuff, and you're like, you know. So let me ask you, how do your clients, or how do they find you? How do they know, like, okay, my child needs to see you or work with someone like you, because I feel that they're sensitive or they're psychic or they're an empath.
Right. Well, I sort of, you know, certainly books are helpful. People find me through my books and through Psychology Today and through word of mouth quite frequently. But it's oftentimes I'm found really one of two ways. One way is really a mainstream, you know, because I focus on children's emotional health. So there's some upset in their child's life. Another way is they know they have an indigo or psychic or sensitive child, and they want them to be mentored by someone, just like you said. They know they need stuff, but they may not know what. So that's where I can work with some kids on Skype and telephone, too, because having, like you mentioned, just someone who has similar sensitivities, who's learned how to be successful with them, can go a really long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, kind of in the old days, you had to just really wing it. Books, you know, you'd find a book here and there. Or
you would close down.
Yeah, yeah. And I find, which was interesting, I later found later, because my mom had similar gifts, not as strong, but she didn't open up about it till way later. And I was thinking, why the heck didn't you say something sooner? You know, what?
Uh-huh.
But there was this, right, this kind of stuffing it down or hiding it. Which, let me ask you, do you find a lot less of that now, or do you still encounter that as well?
You know, it depends on the culture and where the family is coming from, but certainly, you know, there's certain families and people, there's no judgment, but that they're very comfortable with talking about creativity and imagination, but then you use the word psychic and they want to run out of the house. So I just talk to someone in the language that they sort of speak in to help them, you know, help their child thrive.
Mm-hmm.
But I do see it less and less. People are more open.
You do see that. Okay. So you are seeing more of a change, which it sounds like it. If people are saying, look, I would like my child to be mentored, or they're actually seeking, then I think that's a telling sign there that the tide has been changing, and perhaps more on a more mainstream level it's changing. So let's dive in a little bit to the energetic keys to Indigo Kids. If you can talk a bit about how you came to write this book, and let's talk a bit about it for our listeners.
Sure. Well, my first book, Growing Happy Kids, talks about inner confidence and happiness in children. And that was really helpful, and it was fun because I said, oh, my gosh, forget my kids. I need that book. But this book, The Energetic Keys to Indigo Kids, is more about the, you know, focusing in on these sensitive, strong-willed children that are indigo, because what I've seen is that more and more of these children have been coming into my office because they have such an intensity, such a fierce energy to them that it can go in one direction really fast or another direction. So, you know, there's a need to parent them in a new way, to parent them and to raise them and teach them in a way that really is helpful for them to manage their energy and be successful here on Earth, because they do have what feels like two opposing qualities, which is that high sensitivity and that high intensity or fierce energy, and they also share a similar mindset of wanting particular things like honesty they prize above all else, and there's other things, but that intensity to them is incredible and can be used for a force for good, but if they don't learn how to manage it, it really can be challenging for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's like the energy that's now on the planet, you know. I mean, that it's been around, but it's, I think, more prevalent now, and less, perhaps, there's less, what do I want to say, social mores or constriction, I think, in the years before, like let's say even 10 to 20 years ago, you could kind of rope a kid in or herd them in, and I can even say I was roped or herded in by consequences, you know, like, okay, this is going to happen if you do this. Even though you had that intense energy, there was it was easy to rope in. I'm finding, this is what I see, and I want to get your take on it. It seems like there's less of that care to be herded in.
Well, I guess I would say it like this. Like, kids used to be more programmable. So, like, the kids would, their parents would say, hey, you got to go into your bedroom and do your homework, and out of fear or whatever, you would do it. And today, kids are like, I will not. They're just not programmable. So we need to work with them in a different way so that we're successful, we have harmony, they feel good about who they are. So it's really necessary.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it, programmable. Oh, my God, that's so, less and less programmable. And so what are some of the ways that you would work with them?
Well, it depends on the context and the age of the child and the situation, of course. But, for example, you know, I would want children to learn how, you know, for parents and adults with them, to partner with them. So if they were saying, I absolutely choose this, okay, let's try a different approach. These kids just will not respond to authoritative parenting, meaning, like, you know, you do this because I said so. That's just always going to go wrong. So really sort of saying, okay, let's work on this together. This is what needs to happen. You know, how do you, I understand how you feel, or tell me how you feel. Like really partnering with them with choices and negotiating and giving them a voice and a choice. And, of course, there's things that we can't negotiate. But, you know, a lot of life, you know, as long as we partner with them to have our needs met and their needs met, we, there's a big space for that. And it takes more time up front, but it will save me tantrums and upset in the back end. So that's really the payoff.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying it's more up front, it's more time that you're having to spend with the child, but it ends up paying off. It ends up, there ends up being some kind of cohesiveness there.
Yeah, I mean, we all know when someone says, you must do that. I mean, even if it's something we must do, we don't feel great about it. But if you say, hey, okay, you know, I'd like you to help me set the table, take the garbage out, whatever it is, you know, and say, you know, maybe you can get 15 more minutes screen time, I'd be like, okay, I'm on, you know. Because they just want to feel like they're really validated, that they're capable and intelligent beings. And yes, it will take, it comes naturally to some people. They just are intuitively inclined that way. And other people think, no, I was parented this way. This is how I'm going to parent. But if we don't take a pause and really sort of review, like, what worked about my parents' parenting, you know, what really didn't work, and who's the kid I have in front of me? What does this child need? Because children need something different today. So really giving more effort on the upfront is helpful and will save us, you know, exhaustion and energy on the back end. But I do agree, you know, it takes a commitment, right? It takes a certain amount of commitment to help the child. And, you know, it's, parenting can be exhausting. So the idea of, you know, when you get home, oh, and now I need to talk to them about this. I mean, I realize. Yeah. So I'm a big fan of, like, family meetings and really setting expectations for everyone.
So is that something you would help them with? Like, I like the idea of the family meeting, by the way. Is that something that you would help them set up?
I oftentimes people come to me and, you know, they tell me what's going on and what's the issue or the situation or the problem. And they say, okay, you know, I'm just giving them other ideas on how to approach something. And also we know that when you look at something different, everything changes. So instead of seeing them as a challenging and difficult child, saying, okay, they're intelligent and capable and high energy, and how can I help them manage their energy? So just, you know, sort of raising them from a different perspective. And one of the ways is the family meeting where you say, okay, everyone's got a voice. You know, there's, it's not all about what I want you to do. What do you want from mom and dad and or mom and mom or who, whatever the dynamics are, and what is our next holiday? Really sort of being open and partnering with them. And you know, you don't want to give them necessarily adult information like this is how much the mortgage is, but help them understand that, you know, you work hard so they can go to school and all these different things. I think it's just a good thing so they can develop some gratitude, appreciation, and also realize that they're a valuable part of the whole family dynamic.
So really giving them value is what I'm hearing in this. It's really focusing on the value of the person.
I mean, I think that we used to sort of like have that old expectation where kids aren't seen or heard. And I think that now they really need that voice and that choice. They really, you know, the kids that I know that are really happy kids, you know, are able to speak their mind. And, you know, they may not get their way all the time, don't get me wrong, but there's that authenticity. There's that mutual respect. There's that sort of coming together and honoring each other. And they know that their parents have their back. Where some kids that I know think that, you know, school is enemy number one and parents are enemy number two. So we really don't want that. We want to create more of an environment and a space where they think, okay, you know, my parents are for me. They're really for me.
And how much do you think it can be perhaps communication? Maybe the parent is, you know, or the child is on the right track, but it's the communication that isn't getting, you know, isn't a match or what their misunderstanding is.
Oh, so much is communication. I mean, oftentimes it's as if the children and the parents are living in two different worlds, and that, you know, what sounds really harsh to the child isn't harsh at all to the parent, because when their parents said that, they just did it. So it is communication. It is the language we use, especially sensitive children. They're not just sensitive to, you know, sight, sound, light, the environment. They're sensitive to the words you say. It means a lot to them.
Mm. Yeah. And what should, you know, we've met many indigos that listen and many parents of gifted children or crystallines that are listening. What should they be or do they need to be looking for? What would be some of the signs that maybe that they have somebody that is this sensitive?
About sensitive children, how do you know if the question is how do you know you have a sensitive child? Is that sort of the question? Okay, I would say, you know, you often know you have a sensitive child if they're sensitive to light, sound, sight. You know, if they perhaps are highly imaginative and creative, if they don't want to be in crowds, you know, if they really have, you know, they have sort of gifts that aren't like anyone else. I mean, everyone's different, but they're usually very different and very imaginative. And, you know, they have all different qualities, but the sensitivity is a key piece of them. And oftentimes adults and parents know they have a sensitive child from the get-go. I mean, my mother told me I wouldn't wear certain wool at 6 months old. So oftentimes we know that there's a child who has particular sensitivities. And when we're, you know, raising those children, we have to know that, you know, they don't necessarily fit into every school environment. We want to help them surround themselves with like-minded children and help them learn how to navigate their sensitivities. And also, you know, there's a place for, you know, thin skin and tough skin. We want them to help build some sort of inner strength as well, because you know, they need to really learn how to believe in themselves. That's probably why I wrote the Growing Happy Kids book first, is because, you know, all children need confidence, but sensitive kids need deep confidence from the get-go as much as they can, because they are sensitive. They're sensitive to the words people say, and they often take things in really deeply and begin to, you know, create a world view, and we really want them to create one that's positive and where they believe in themselves.
Mm-hmm. So part of what I'm hearing you saying is not so much just the identification, it's really what to do with it, because it's so true, parents do know. It's usually they don't quite know what to do or what direction, you know, or they've been trying tactics that aren't particularly working.
Right. Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's, you know, in the back of the book, The Energetic Keys to Indigo Kids, it sort of has exercises that you can help your children with, meaning, and it's good for any sensitive children and probably sensitive adults as well, of course, like energy protection, helping them get grounded, being able to focus, really helping them, you know, really learn, you know, we all need to learn how to handle our frustration and emotions, but helping these kids so that, you know, that you know, they can progress and have healthy and emotional and social relationships. So, you know, I think that guides and, you know, books are a great starting point, but, you know, really putting things into practice, and it's like a smorgasbord, you know, you do what works for you and your family and your child, and you change and you do something else, but, you know, knowing these things are available, I've found that it's very helpful for people.
Mm-hmm. And now, in the book, where did you pull from working with the children that you've worked with?
Yeah, I mean, the book certainly I've read, I haven't seen anything I haven't read about indigo and sensitive kids. Then I've worked with sensitive quite a long time, folks of recent years. So there's examples and stories and success stories from my clients, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say a main characteristic, because you mentioned some, you know, quite a few. If we look at the energy pattern of indigo. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I certainly can go through, you know, a short listing of what indigo kids are.
Okay, that'd be great for our listeners. Yeah,
that'd be helpful. Highly creative, extremely energetic, gifted in certain areas, and oftentimes they may be gifted one area but sort of deficient in another because they're patterned for their unique purpose. They have a need for fairness.
Their pattern. Could you repeat that again?
Sure. That one. I sort of inserted that into what I'm reading. But they're patterned for their purpose. So oftentimes they're gifted in one particular area, at least one area, but they may be deficient in another. So they're their skill set's not always, you know, doesn't always line up with school, let's put it that way. They have a need for fairness, prize honesty almost above all else. Mm-hmm. They feel equal to authority. It doesn't matter if you're their parent or the principal, they'll tell you what they think. Mm-hmm. They hate rules, refuse to do certain things, want special treatment, are strong-willed, waver between grandiosity and low self-esteem, may be prone to depression, have high sensitivity, sound, smell, touch, and sight, have sharpened intuition, don't respond positively to authoritative parenting, have a built-in BS detector. They know dishonesty right away.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to leave things incomplete, cannot be rushed. They may have a fetish or quirk, I guess you could say. For example, I had one client who only wanted to wear princess dresses. So they sort of like have something that they just love and they go into it. They love playing alone unless they're with other sensitive kids. They get hooked on things and can't let go. They're independent at times and clingy at other times. And they seek meaningful friendships. So the key pieces are just high sensitivity, giftedness in one area, incredible creativity, strong energy of defiance, at least for the indigos. They're inwardly motivated, so they're not motivated by punishment. So they are inwardly motivated. So that's a key piece of having success with them. And also intuitive intelligence. They have a very high intuitive intelligence. They, of course, have other intelligences too, but they rely primarily on how they feel, their gut instincts. So that's the indigo kids. I mean, the other sensitive kids, like you mentioned, everyone's sort of different, but they all are under this big umbrella of high sensitivity.
Mm-hmm. One thing, though, you say inwardly focused or motivated. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Like, for example, like similar to what you were saying, if someone said, you know, years and years ago to children, hey, to a lot of kids, hey, if you don't do this, you're going to be punished, kids would be like, oh, my gosh, I got to do this, right? Nowadays, a lot of these indigos and sensitive kids will say, oh, we're going to get punished. Okay, no problem. Like, it doesn't really mean anything to them. They just, okay, make me take out the garbage another day. Like, no skin off my back. So you sort of have to know what is inside of them. What do they really want? How can I help bring that out, nurture their talents, and get them motivated to really be a productive, positive, not that they're slackers per se, but they're just not externally motivated. For example, a lot of sensitive kids will start homework and finish it in their mind, meaning they're so bright. But they forgot they didn't finish it on the piece of paper, and they didn't hand it into school because they just didn't see any meaning in that because they finished it in their mind. So they don't have that external motivation, like, oh, I'm going to get in trouble, I'm going to get a bad grade in that class. They're like, never got it. You know what I mean? So they need to help them put value on things that the planet Earth values and also develop an inner motivation and say, okay, you know, I want to be a film director, so how do we do that? You know, how do we make that happen? Sort of connecting them to their passion and purpose, or at least their strengths and skills right now so that they can get motivated.
Mm-hmm. So there's a sense of grounding there, grounding it into, you know, a lot of them too. I mean, yeah, it's true that the old paradigm or the old Earth rule, they're just not as important to them as well. So, you know, they're formatted for the present and the future, not so much the past. Now, one thing Go ahead.
I was going to say they easily connect up, meaning their upper chakras or energy centers. If people know energy. They can be imaginative and creative and have their upper energy centers working where the down ones aren't as open and grounded to Mother Earth. So that is that need to complete things and stay focused. So they do live in that imaginative world. So helping them balance their intuition and reason and really, you know, ground here is a piece of the, you know, sensitive children's success.
And I have heard, I mean, sometimes there can be, because you touched on this a little bit, well, the independence sometimes, or prone to grandiosity or low self-esteem. Uh-huh. What is that about? And I've seen it even with children that both of those polarities are played out, you know, kind of swinging between one and another.
Well, they have such quick energy, right? Their energy is fast and it's intense. Mm-hmm. and it can go in either direction really quickly. And they're so sensitive, so depending upon what someone says, you know, oh, you're fabulous, woohoo, I'm great, but then they go into school and they get teased and they feel depressed and miserable because they're looking to the outside world to see who they are. So that's sort of a mistake. That's not going to help them be happy. But they can, you know, they just are so sensitive to either the highs and lows of life. So helping them manage their energy and their emotions and get more in the middle place will help them be successful. Not to necessarily shut them down, to keep their sensitivity going as a strength, but to help them manage that. And they do have, from a personality standpoint, you know, they want to be really independent. They totally believe in themselves. But with that high sensitivity, when they get criticism, they don't just, you know, shake it off, per se. They go down in the dump. So it is that up and down. Does that make sense?
Which can break. Oh, yeah, it does. And because
okay. There
can be, I've seen with some people that I've worked, the up and down, or like the swinging to the both ends of the spectrum, that can also, a lot of times, with children, trigger depression.
Well, they're so sensitive to it, especially, I have a chapter in the book about channeling energy. And if they don't every single day have a channel for their energy, whether it's reading, jumping on a trampoline, putting a puzzle together, really a way, an outlet for them to get their energy out, it can stay stuck in their bad body and they can be depressed. You know, they can get, you know, and they're also susceptible to anxiety and fears. For example, I worked with a client and he's so sweet and such a good kid, but you know, his mom brought him in, and it turns out he wouldn't go to the bathroom by himself, and he was 5 years old. So I said, what's going on? And he said, I think there's ghosts that can come up through the sink. So we had to work on that, you know. Sort of kids need someone to tell the truth to, that they don't feel like, okay, I'm crazy, but help me figure this out because I'm so sensitive. And, you know, they need to learn how to manage their energy and their sensitivities. And, you know, working with him, I helped him with his energy and sort of just gave him that guidance. Because when you're so young, you know, you haven't lived. You don't have the luxury of, you know, experience. So everything is the most intense. You know, when someone teases you, it is the worst day ever. When someone compliments you, it's the best. So helping them sort of manage that energy is really helpful.
Mm-hmm. So now, Maureen, are there a lot of, like you said, first of all, I want to ask one thing before I get to the exercises. How important is movement in managing energy?
Say that again?
How important is movement in managing energy, one's energy?
I think it's very important. I'm not saying that all kids have to be an athlete by any stretch, but certainly movement is very helpful. I think that biology, you know, eating right and sleeping right and getting some sort of exercise, whether it's going for a walk or sports or Tai Chi, some sort of movement keeps energy flowing and really gives them a boost of all those feel-good hormones. So, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, they don't need to be star football players, so to speak, but they need to be moving for sure. And I think that some of the screen time has really caused some generations to not move as much. So really keeping that balance in extracurricular activities and fun things that are not so mobile and other things that really get them moving is important.
Mm-hmm. And you work with them on their belief systems or the beliefs
Absolutely.
Of those around them? You do? Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, everything goes back to, in my first book, Growing Happy Kids, I had five building blocks of success, which are not success, but confidence, which are biology, beliefs, emotions, social, and spiritual. But the beliefs are what causes them, you know, to believe in themselves, to believe in others, to appreciate what people say, to really, you know, take things with a grain of salt when someone's teasing them, you know, or to really develop a sense of clarity. I mean, most kids, you know, some of these kids are really what I would say old souls. They come with wisdom, you know, and it's really helping them navigate our world, which is what they need to know. They're new here, and they're like, what's this? This doesn't make any sense. So it's really helping them figure out, okay, this is the system. They may not be perfect. This is how it goes, you know, and these are, you know, from a happiness standpoint, these are happy, and these are the things to avoid. I mean, we all want that deeper sense of contentment and peace, and I think that, you know, getting mentored, whether it's a sensitivity mentor or a happiness mentor or some sort of teacher in a child's life besides maybe the traditional academic stuff is always important. It's always, you know, it could be a parent if they have taken the time to really figure out, you know, who they are and how to become happy. I think that's an ideal situation. But if that's, you know, if they know they need someone else, then you go out and you connect them with someone else. So I think that's essential.
Mm-hmm. You know, it just struck me as you were speaking. I thought, you know, we had this way back when you had the, more the elders. You know, you'd have the the grandparent or, you know, the wise one or the shaman or the, you know, the healer, the curandera that said, I see this in your child, you know, and the child could go, you know, and they had the time. Because I think also one of the factors, and you touched on it earlier, that, you know, it does take up front, there is more time with dealing with, you know, someone that is more aware, more awake, more sensitive. They're, you know, you're not going to be able to buy them with some candy or something or pay them off. So in a way, do you ever see yourself as in that role of holding the space, the healing space in that way?
Absolutely. And you know, being able to help, you know, help guide them and point them in the right direction. I mean, I think a really good teacher doesn't tell them the answers, it just tells them where to look, you know? Like, if you start looking here and maybe doing some of this, this is going to help you now. So certainly, I think that's super helpful, especially when people are intuitive and tuned in and really can see someone's gifts that either they can't see or, you know, people are too close to saying, oh, wow, you know, this is, you know, because everyone comes with unique gifts to give. And that's, you know, when we find our gifts and we start giving them, wow, the world opens up. So my hope is for these kids, these sensitive kids, you know, realizing who they are sooner and don't go through like a bumpy path of trying to please everyone else and really say, okay, this is who I am. This is who I want to be in this world. Joseph Campbell, when he taught college, he used to say to the college students, first thing he said is, disappoint your parents. And I laughed because there's a key to that. You know, like, don't live someone else's life. Live your own life. And I think that's a really important thing. And I think that, you know, we've come of age and we have enough awareness that we can help kids from the get-go really be who they came here to be.
Oh, that's beautiful. And that, I think that is it. It is helping them be who they're meant to be, who they already are, helping that unfold and flower instead of molding them into something that's easier for
them. Like, I mean, I have parents who say, oh, you know, I really wanted a doctor, but you got a guitar player, so, you know.
Exactly.
So this is it.
Yeah, and so those keys, when you say energetic keys, are those aspects or properties that you mentioned earlier, those things to look for?
It was, you know, the idea is just as key pieces of information to help with the indigo kids, to help the sensitive kids succeed. And in one of the chapters, it's called the success factors, the success keys. You know, we talk about the different things you need to do to help these kids become successful, like balancing intuition and reason, teaching them life skills and others. But there's key pieces with sensitive children that they need.
So it sounds like it sounds fabulous. It sounds like it's a bit of a handbook also. That's what I'm getting, is that it's a handbook reference book, you know, that let's try this. Let's integrate this you know, into our parenting. And what about children? You know, it's a reason to me, especially if 8, 10, 11, 12 on, is this something that children can read as well?
Absolutely. I mean, certainly I didn't design it as a children's book, but, I mean, I've had children in my office who are 4 years old and reading, so they certainly can read this book, you know, when it's their time. So, I mean, the feedback I have heard that is that it's not only helpful as an adult nurturing children, but anyone who has that indigo-type energy, they can read it and feel, you know, you feel validated. Okay, I'm not just, you know.
But that's what I was thinking, because sometimes, you know, child, so for all our younger listeners, sometimes I know it helped me later on in life reading things and go, oh, that's what I was doing, you know, to see it in print validates, you know, and brings some understanding to your experience and, you know, why you're thinking or behaving a certain way. So as you're talking, I'm thinking, you know, it's great for parents, but I think children of a certain age to reflect back on and also to have the, you know, to have the tools to use as well. Now, how can people get a hold? You've got your website, Growing Happy Kids, growinghappykids.com. You mentioned also you do Skype sessions, mentoring sessions as well.
That's right. That's right. And I'm located in California, but they can also get me on contact us at growinghappykids.com.
Okay. And just do you have any workshops or anything that's coming up that people need to know about you'd like to share?
Well, nothing's jumping out in my mind, but certainly on growinghappykids.com you can get free chapters of the book, and you can also sign up with the newsletter where you can stay informed and stay tuned, because always things are changing and having more fun, right? So it's all
right.
Good.
Right. It's all good. Exactly. And how, I'm just curious, how, like, is there an original consultation and then you're mentoring by Skype or phone? How is the...
Yeah, I do consultations. Sometimes, you know, parents or adults need one session. They just sort of need a check-in. This is what's going on. What do you suggest? Other times it's more regular sessions. So it's really, it really is tailored to what you need at that moment, because, I mean, I want to be a resource. You know, I don't want to be a crutch, just a resource.
So it sounds like it's a bit individual to to each child. Yeah, I was just wondering if they go through, like, some specific, like a program, or it's just really evaluating the child and saying, well, this could be helpful, or they could use this.
Yeah, it's always tailored to a specific child, or dealing with a certain, you know, parent's questions on that child, so that, you know, that they can be helped in that moment and be pointed in the right direction. And sometimes it's one session, and other times it's, you know, continuing assistance on different things.
Well, it sounds wonderful, Maureen. It really, something that's really speaking to a need, I would say, both for the parent and for the child. And it's great when there are people like you around doing this, in a sense of even being an advocate, I think, for those children as well. Educator, teacher, but also an advocate.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for being on the program. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your insights on this, as well as some of the tools that you use. Thanks so much for being on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, and of course that was Maureen Dawn Healy, the author of Growing Happy Kids and the Energetic Keys to Indigo Kids, which we focused on. You can find out more information about Maureen and the work that she does by going to growinghappykids.com. Fabulous, just fabulous. I love that, you know, more support, especially for the children. You know, they need that nurturing and guidance and support. Thank you all, listener participants, for being on Awakenings Radio. It's always wonderful to connect with you every Wednesday. And, of course, we're here every – and about 12 to 12:50 Pacific time, we'll answer email questions, or you can call in for readings, dream interpretation, meditation. Again, if you have any guest suggestions, topic suggestions, you can email us at awakeningsradio@gmail.com. If you also want to get on the newsletter, the monthly newsletter, email us also at awakeningsradio.com. Join us on our Facebook page, Awakenings with Michelle Mache, and let us know how you're doing, what you're doing. Love these Wednesdays together. So until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.